So last week I started talking about the Bible, and it was that marathon Genesis through Revelation service. If you managed to get through that and you're back again today, well done. But lighter today on speed, but not content. So again, stick with me. Scripture this morning is 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17. And the Word of God says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. While I was preparing, I found this interesting list. And the list says, 9 reasons not to read your Bible. Reason number 1, it may challenge you about your spiritual walk. It may change your view of God. It may show you that it's about a relationship with Jesus and not about a religion. It may change your character. It may convince you to stop trying to be good to earn salvation. It may affect your relationships. It may change your actions. It may help you think differently. It may help you see the value of being in community with other believers. But the truth is, as we go to God's Word and as we interact with the God of the Bible and we learn about Almighty God, then we are changed. In actual fact, that should be our prayer. Our prayer should be, Lord, change me. When we encounter Almighty God, He finds us in a place, but He wants to take us to another place. He never leaves us as He finds us. He wants us to be growing in Him. And so as we encounter Him, that happens. Timothy said we could be thoroughly equipped. The scripture that in Timothy we read, we can be thoroughly equipped. And how do we get thoroughly equipped? It's by going to God's Word and letting His Word teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us in all righteousness. Some heavy words in that sentence. Some we are like, yes, ooh, I love that. And others, not so sure about that. Teaching, we're okay with that. Rebuking, ooh. Correcting, half-half, train for righteousness. So we have different associations with these words. But the question this morning, are you equipped for righteousness? If that's what going to God's Word does for us, we have to say, is that happening in our lives? Are we equipped for righteousness? So my hot 3 tips for how to be equipped for righteousness are, I'm going to go up here. The tip number 1 is read the Bible. Okay? Tip number 2 is very similar. Read the Bible. Oh, you know what's coming next. And number 3, read the Bible. So, if we read in Timothy that's how we're equipped for righteousness, by going to God's Word, well, that's a good place for us to go. And we need to go there all the time. You can't just say, I've read the Bible once, cover to cover. Well, that's okay if you're this age. But if you're not that age and you say, I've only read it once, then you've got to say, oh, you start again, guys, come on. But we have to get into God's Word to really understand what He's saying, to hear Him. And so how do we do that? How should we come to the Bible? Or how do we read the Bible to get something out of it? And so this week and next week, I'm going to look at a couple of things. But this morning, I want to share 2 words that I know I've spoken about before. They're very important words for us to understand. And they're technical terms. And so you're getting a little bit of technical stuff this morning. The 2 words are exegesis and eisegesis. Exegesis, you want to say that with me just to get your tongue? Exegesis. You see, it's not so difficult. Exegesis, if you're in a conversation with somebody and you want to sound like you know something about the Bible, pull this one out. Exegesis. Let me tell you what it is. It's to lead out of. It's when we go to the text and we let the text speak to us. Now, I know you're all thinking, well, that's what I always do. Maybe. But this approach helps us to lead out stuff from the Bible. When we read the Bible like this, we ask the questions like, what is God saying to me in His Word? We say, how does this speak to my life? Okay? We let God's Word speak into our lives. In contrary, is eisegesis. Exegesis, eisegesis. Eisegesis is to lead into. This is when we go to God's word and we have a certain idea in our mind of what the truth might be, and we hunt it down until we find it. And if we don't find it, we find something that's close enough. And if we don't find something that's close enough, then we close the Bible. Or it's like when we superimpose our own ideas on God's word. When we start to inform the text and the text doesn't inform us. Sometimes this is due to our own ideas, our own presuppositions, things we may have heard. Sometimes because of tradition. Sometimes people go to God's word and try and let God's word speak into their situation, which they know is wrong, but they really want God to kind of be with them on this crazy journey they're on. So we have to be careful to not do that. We have to go with exegesis in mind. And I'm going to give you an example of how this works, okay? I'm going to test your biases this morning. Whew. You don't have to put up your hands at any point, and I'm not going to like name any names. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. I've purposely left off a lot of stuff from the screen because I want to read what comes. So it says here, Paul saying, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." So now he lists a list of wrongdoers. I'm going to read them. They're not going up on the screen. And I want you to just, as I read the different definitions of wrongdoers, I want you to go, "That one's the one that I really don't like." Okay. You ready? Okay, here we go. Thank you, Shorba. "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Did you get stuck on one of those possibly? Has anybody been drunk before here? Yes. You see, amen, brother. You see, unfortunately, as we go to a list like this, we've got some things that we really don't like. And we get stuck on those. And we almost think this list is a list of, it's in hierarchy. This is terrible. This is not so terrible. Oh, this is okay. Just a little bit of wine for the, whatever is the saying, I don't know. Being a non-drinker, not too sure. But anyway, you see how we read the scripture. We have to be totally open to saying, "Lord, what are you saying to me? What does this mean for me?" Because as we read it, we start to think of people, don't we? We think, oh, you're going to hell. You're a wrongdoer. Woo-hoo, that's a problem. We can't read it like that. We have to say, what is this? What comes out of the scripture? Not what do I put in. Another example. Are you ready? Woo. It's lovely. Okay, so Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, 8 to 11, "We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for law." Oh. Now he lists who the law is made for. I nearly gave it away there. Okay, so here's another list. Paul, you'll find, if you ever read enough of the Bible, he loves lists. If you want to go with what's right and wrong, Paul's got a list somewhere to help you. But here it is. Okay, so here's a list of the problematic things. Lawbreakers and rebels. Now, I know straight away you're thinking of some government official. Whoops, that came out. The ungodly and sinful. The unholy and irreligious. For those who kill their fathers or mothers. For murderers. Now, I know at this point we're like, "Hey, this is not me. Hey, I'm so good." Sexually immoral. For those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers. Do you see how we have this idea that sin is very bad and not so bad? But in this list, liars are mentioned. Anybody ever lied? Peter Benson? Oh, he hasn't. Okay, safe on that one. Thanks, buddy. But you see, do you see how we can so easily read into a text where we should be going to it and saying, "Lord, speak to me. What on this list applies to me? What do I need to do?" And don't think of somebody else. It's so easy when you read something like this, you just go, oh, there they go. The question to ask in light of exegesis and eisegesis is, do I read the Bible what do I read into the Bible? Another way to put it is, do we edit the Bible to suit ourselves, or do we let the Bible edit us? Critical stuff. Do we come with our own preconceived ideas and try and make the Bible back up what we believe? Exegesis is how we need to go to the Bible. The Bible needs to speak into our lives. If we go to Scripture and let it teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us in righteousness, then we will be thoroughly equipped. It's also important to acknowledge that we all come to the Bible with our own preconceived ideas. We come with our own perspectives, okay? So we read the Bible, and these ideas are formed over time. Maybe our family backgrounds, where we grew up, where we didn't go to church, or where we did go to church. All these things, our society, influence how we see Scripture. We have to know that the bit of Scripture I'm going to read now was written a very long time ago. Culture was different. How people were seen was different. And so we're going to read it this morning, and I'm going to help you to understand a couple of the things that we might miss out on if we come with our own bias. And there's no ways to read Scripture without bias. But if we acknowledge how we come to Scripture, I think we can start to get to what Scripture is trying to teach us. So the Scripture is Genesis 2, verse 20 to 22. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Just a really interesting little factoid. The one bone that can regenerate, that can regrow in your body, would you believe it's your rib? How awesome is God? Hey? There you go. So, as we come to the Scripture, you might be thinking, okay, man was created first, therefore, man's the best. Okay. Everybody's scared at this point because I've still got three more things to get through here. Then you might think, wait a second, woman was made from man, therefore woman is better. Man was like version one, and woman was version two. Okay, Pete's quiet on this one. Or you might say, woman was made from a rib, man was made from dust. So that means man is dusty and woman is rebaceous. I don't know, it's a new word, I made it up, okay. Or is it possible that man and woman are equal? Do you see how the society we live in helps us to see Scripture in different ways? At the moment, there's a huge push that women are dominant, that women are better than men, that men are useless. And so if you come with that kind of approach to Scripture like this, you might get a different thing. I don't think God's trying to teach us any of those things from the Scripture. But as we read it, we might get stuck. We could come to the Scripture and just say, wow, God is awesome. He created everything. That might be what the point is of the Scripture. So we need to acknowledge our own perspectives, our own biases, and try and not let them get between us and the Word of God. The other problem that we could fall into is how we apply this message to other people. Do we do reflection or redirection? Reflection, what is it saying to me? Redirection, what is it saying to the world? Reflection, redirection. And I've got a beautiful example again. I know you're loving this. Okay, be careful. It's a trap. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, you know the Scripture. It goes like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And we preach on this Scripture. And we know this Scripture. And when we weigh up our own lives, we say, how am I doing? Am I more patient? Am I more loving? Is the Holy Spirit working in me that I can be more self-controlled? But. The sentence starts with the word, but. I made it yellow, in case you missed it. Which means there was something important before it that had something to do with this. And I can guarantee you, we never preach the whole bit of this. Let me just tell you what it says, okay. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Oh, here we go. A list. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is. So, it's fair to go to the fruit and say, what fruit have I got in my life? But it's also okay to go and say, what must I be worried about? What is in me that's of the flesh? Surely I must get rid of that first and then say, okay, Spirit, lead and guide and work in me. Because sometimes we don't do that. We don't acknowledge where we're falling short of Almighty God. We don't say, this is sinful, this is wrong, help me, Lord. Now let me see what's happening, what fruit is growing. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 15, a lovely scripture by Paul, maybe we can read it like this. And I'll put myself in the scripture, okay. But as for you, Brian, continuing what you, Brian, have learned and have become convinced of, because you, Brian, know those from whom you learnt it. You have from infancy, Brian, known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to, the clincher, make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. If we put ourselves in that scripture, it's talking to us. It's easy to just say you, you, you. But the minute we say Brian, 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 Lauren nudges Brian. But the minute we put ourselves in that scripture, it speaks to us. So the scripture often speaks to us in this way, and we must not try and point scripture at other people until we've pointed it at ourselves. And then my last point is a warning. Well, I guess it's been quite a morning of warning, but anyway. So sometimes we even have words that we attribute to God and His Word that aren't even in the Bible. Whew, is that possible? Of course it's possible. Here we go. Non-Bible stuff, my fourth topic this morning. God helps those who help themselves. Ever heard that? Not in the Bible, folk. Not in the Bible. It's just not there. It sounds like it could be, doesn't it? It's pretty close. The truth is, God helps those who cannot help themselves. Sin is something we can't help ourselves with. Only Almighty God can help us with that. We cannot do some things on our own. We cannot be spiritually discerning without Almighty God in us. It's not possible. Sometimes we cannot help ourselves. What about this one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Does that mean that dirtiness is next to ungodliness? It's a bizarre thing to say. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I can picture the scene. There's some dirty little child just walked in from the back door, and there's a mom going, why didn't you clean your muddy feet? Did you know cleanliness is close to godliness? No. No. Separate the two. Being close to God is godliness. Surrendering your life to God and Jesus Christ is godliness. Cleanliness is about hygiene, guys. Yeah. Bible didn't address that in that particular point. God forgives those who forgive themselves. It's not there. The truth is, God forgives those who ask for forgiveness. That's the truth. And so be careful of these little sayings, because they can lead us a little bit astray to start looking at me and not at God. Here's one. See if you pick up the error here. Money is the root of all evil. Oh, there's some clever people here. Yes. The love of money is the root of all evil. But I've heard it quoted like this many times. What about this? You might have heard of the seven deadly sins. At some point, somebody said, hey, there's a list. It's the 7 deadly sins. And sometimes we think, oh, these sins are the worst of the worst. Everything else is like, you know, white lies and whatever. But, ooh, the 7 deadly sins. You know, the Bible doesn't have a list of 7 sins in one place that are the 7 deadly sins. The Bible says, watch out for sin. And you would have heard me speaking about stuff this morning. Many scriptures that Paul quoted. It's more than 7. The Bible doesn't have that. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I don't even know what that means. I'm sorry. I thought about it. And I was like, I figure in I would translate it to say that your good works don't mean anything. They're like filthy rags. But that's how it was said in the Bible, not like this. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Well, how do we know if it's in the Bible or if it's not in the Bible? We can go to our 3 helpful tips on how to get the most out of the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Then you'll know. Or when somebody quotes that, you could just gently say, where exactly is that found? Or you can go to Google and say, is this in the Bible? The Bible is God's inspired book. It's not only inspired, but as we read it, it's inspirational. You might not know that, but as the readers, as the writers were inspired by God to put these words in the pages, as we read it, God's Holy Spirit makes the word alive in our life. It's not just any book that we can read just like any other book. When we go to God's word, the words are impressed. They're brought alive in us by the Holy Spirit. You remember the 9 reasons not to read your Bible? Be careful. The Bible will change your life. The Bible will change your life. Watch out for eisegesis. Go with exegesis. Beware of your own perspectives, your own things. Try and get rid of those as much as possible. We need to read the Bible for ourselves and then reflect on that. We need to read the Word of God so that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I thought I'd end with this great song. And if this was Peter Benson preaching, he would sing it. But I know that that would empty the church too quickly. But you might remember this song, okay? I most probably could read it. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And now? Yeah, the problem is that forget how to pray. Read your Bible, forget how to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you know, we learned that back in the day in Sunday school. I even learned that in Sunday school. Are you teaching in Sunday school? Good, good catch. But how much truth this simple song holds is frightening. It's frightening, it's memorable, but it's frightening. We need to read God's word. Go to scripture, let it teach you, rebuke you, correct you, and train you for righteousness. Then you will be thoroughly equipped.